I was trying to see if we had another video that I had. It's on my phone. My name is Dorsey Atkinson. I'm the pastor here. Good to see you guys. Are you happy to be here?
Yeah.
Yes. Semi-happy, sort of happy, sort of excited or whatever. Well, it's good. Good to see. Thomas is just sitting there looking at me down like this. So I'm like, I'm not sure what that look is. So, the reason I was asking about a video, and I'll tell you about it in a little bit. I have it on my phone, but I couldn't do it. But I'll just talk about it in a little bit. But over the last couple of weeks, we've been working on a message series where we've been talking about no more words, what it means to stop talking about what we're going to do, stop talking about the things that God is doing in our life, and start doing something with the things that God has done in our life. And during this time, we basically are working off the premise that we all have devotional time with God, but we're trying to change. The devotional time is where we spend time with God in prayer, in worship, in our personal time with God, studying the Word. And so we have this personal time with God where God transforms us. But then what we're looking for is to move from having just God transform us to a devotional life, which means God will transform the world through us. And so we've been talking about that over the last several weeks, and we said the path to move from a devotional time with God to a devotional life with God requires us to, number one, be available to God, and we talked about that for a week or so, and then we talked about we have to be able to bring our questions and our doubts to God. All that's happening in our personal time with God. We're available to God. We listen to God. We're speaking to Him through our prayer life. He's speaking to us through our prayer life. We're reading about Him in the Scriptures. There's all these like dialogues happening with us and God, and as we change and or as He's transforming our life. But then the third thing we have to do is submit to God. And submitting to God is what we talked about last week. And last week we talked about how we all have barriers that keep us from fully committing to God. Various barriers or situations in our own life where, if for lack of a better words, we like to go back to who we used to be. As we start to be followers of God, as we start to be followers of His Son Jesus Christ or become a disciple, we begin to have a transition that happens in us, but as we start to do this, we want to go back to who we used to be, or we sort of hedge our bets. And last week we talked about a story where there was some who were starting to follow the teachings of Jesus, began to be what you would call disciples of Jesus in that time, and Paul, who was came to encourage them on their walk, noticed that some of them, as they were being disciples of Jesus, still had their scrolls that were sorcery scrolls. They were still using their old scrolls of witches and warlocks or whatever the other stuff is, using the horoscopes or whatever, all the various things, their potions, their things like that. And they were being Christian or being disciples, but yet they held on to this old life. And he came and said, you can't do both. And as he was telling them this, they began to be convicted. And what he was saying is, you've got to be totally into this Jesus. You've got to be all into this. And so in a moment of conviction, they all confessed, said they had messed up, and they took their scrolls. They took all these valuable writings that had all their stuff that they had depended on so long, and they threw them in a pile and they burned them. And what we were going to show a video of is last week, after the end of both services at this campus and the other campus, we had a little sticky note in there, and we asked everybody that was here to write down one thing that was standing between them and what God had called them to do. What was the thing that they kept going back to? What was their scroll that they needed to burn, they needed to get rid of, to totally be fully committed to God, to totally step out one more step in faith with God? And we wrote those things down, and at both campuses, we put those into a basket at the end of the service. And then that evening, a group of us met at our normal prayer service time at the other campus at 7, and we finished our normal prayer service, and we took those scrolls on sticky notes or post-it notes, and they were all rolled up. We didn't look at any of them, but we went outside and we circled up. And there's a group of about 8 or 10 of us, and we circled up around those scrolls, those pieces of paper that represented so much to so many people, barriers that people had, the real barriers to people not having faith or going back to being a control freak. Like once you've given that up and going back to being a control freak or not being so competitive, but they still, whatever the various things were that people had on there, their fears, their doubts. And we took those and we passed them around the group and we all put hands on them and we prayed over the actual pieces of paper, the scrolls. We prayed over the people who had wrote those things down, and we passed them around, and we put our hands on them, touched them. We made it real, so they were just, you know, everybody had a part of it. Then we took them, and we put them in a bowl, and we set them on fire. And we set them on fire in this metal bowl, and we watched them burn. And it was interesting that as I was watching it burn, these scrolls, which represented so much burdens on people's lives, huge burdens on people's lives, as they're trying to learn to submit to God, that they were giving these things up, in their submission to God, that looked so numerous in that basket as they began to burn and turn into ash, they got smaller and smaller. And you know, and I'm a guy, and you know, there's a fire, and you know, it's just a guy thing. I don't know what it is. Guys, what are you going to do when there's a fire and there's a stick around there? You're going to sort of play in the fire, aren't you? And so I just sort of took the stick in there and stirred it up to make sure all of it got burned up, because you don't want any leftover stuff in there. We didn't want any residue of stuff that was bothering people that didn't get completely burned. And so we completely burned it all, and then it was nothing but ashes. And, and you could have put those ashes maybe in a large thimble. That's all the ashes they were out of, like 80 or 90 of these little pieces of paper. And so I took those ashes, and then we dumped them on the ground, right there in the dirt. And we all took our feet and rubbed them in the dirt, and they were gone. I mean, I couldn't tell where they were. It was just, I couldn't tell the ashes from the dirt. Just, it was gone and they were disappeared. And I wonder if that's what those people felt like in that day and time when they gave up those things that were keeping them from being the person that God was calling them to do or be, keeping them from doing the things that God had called them to do. And so on behalf of all of you guys, we did that as an act of how we submitted to God. Saying that, God, you're going to be a priority in our life. And if this was holding me back, it's burned and it's gone. We're going to recognize that we make mistakes and we struggle. And I'm going to confess those to you, Father. And my actions might not have been right before, but I'm burning those and they're gone. All of this stuff is gone. And so today we move to the fourth thing, which is the hardest part of taking and moving from a devotional time with God to a devotional life with God. And that is to move forward and live for God. So now we feel God has moved in our life. There's a transformation that's happened in us, and we've started to burn at least one of the barriers to keep us from living that. So now we got to move forward and live for God. So what does moving forward and living for God look like in this day and time? Well, it's easy to read, but it's hard to do. It's easy to say, but it's hard to do. And so we find that Jesus was teaching his disciples, and he was teaching them and giving them what was called the Great Commission. I would say it sounds like a commandment to me, but they call it the Great Commission. It's in Matthew 28, verses 18 and 19, and it says this, "And Jesus came to them and he said, 'All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I've commanded you. And remember this, I'm with you always, even to the very end of the age.'" So Jesus gives his followers, his disciples who were struggling, his disciples who weren't perfect, his disciples who were in the process of being and becoming a disciple, who had moved from a devotional time with God to a devotional life, and they're in this process, and it's one of the last things that Jesus told them, and I think that he tells all disciples. It is a tradition, it is a commission that we give to everyone who is in the steps of the other disciples of trying to become more like Jesus. So what does he say? He says, go and make disciples. Pretty simple statement. Go make disciples. Get up, and I could add in there, get up and go. Yeah, I don't think you can stay and go, so it's like you got to move a little bit. Make means there's action to be done, and this particular thing of disciples. Disciples of Jesus Christ. Go and make disciples. And he says, of all nations. That means you're going to have to make disciples of people that you don't know. You're going to have to make, when you follow Jesus, you're going to have to go out and speak to people you may or may not know. All nations means they may speak your language, they may not speak your language. But he still calls us to go to those people, to all people, and make disciples. Then he gives characteristics, baptizing them in the name of the Father, baptizing them in the name of the Son, baptizing them in the name of the Holy Spirit, connecting them to this body, to this group, to this Trinity that he calls the church, and connecting with this. And then he says, and teach them to obey everything I've commanded you. So everything I've told you, everything that you've learned, and as you learn more from me, you teach them. See, one of the things that you have to understand as being a disciple is, as you learn things, you're expected to teach others. You're expected to teach these things to others what you have learned. Sometimes we've learned through our failures. Sometimes we've learned through our successes. But both of those are called a witness or a testimony that we use to help teach others so others can relate to that. And he says, to teach them to obey everything I've commanded you. And he says, understand this. No matter where you go, what you do, when you do it, however long you do this, I'm with you always. So he tells us this. He gives us this information. That's what we're all supposed to do. So go ahead and look to the person beside you and tell them, I'm supposed to make disciples. Now you say back to that person, of all nations, you need to baptize them, tell them. And I need to teach them. We need to work together to make a difference. That's what it is. Now, you can stop. Don't repeat after me. That's what it is. You just keep right on going. I know you're like, yeah. So, but here's where we are. Why isn't that easier than what it sounds? It's easy to say, isn't it? But it's hard, isn't it? It's hard, number one, to be a disciple. It's hard, number two, to go and make disciples when we're still trying to figure out what we're supposed to be doing. But understand this. There were several people yesterday that walked across the stage that got diplomas that are going to be teachers who haven't done anything but had a little bit of practice teaching in school. But when they take that first job, you know what? They're going to be teachers. It's not about, well, I haven't ever taught the first grade. I remember Caitlin, you were teaching the first grade. Was that the first one you did? And she come out, and she was a parapro to begin with, and then the parapro was gone, my daughter-in-law, and she took over, and she's the teacher. So you go in thinking, oh, this is going to be okay because I got somebody I can learn from my first year. Well, you got to learn about a couple of weeks, and then it's yours. You know, and you are the teacher. You are the lesson plans. You are this. You are that. You know, it's all of that. So you have to teach as you're learning, and it's hard. And for some of us, when it gets hard, we get afraid. We get overwhelmed, and we just quit. It's just too much for us. We just can't take it. But I want to let you know that this is not something new that is just how Jesus reveals things to his disciples about what it is that they have to do, and it's going to be tough. It's because God had done this before. God had talked to others in the Old Testament about these type of things. And remember, Jesus said one time, if you see me do anything, I only do what I see my Father doing or what I've seen my Father doing. I'm only doing what I see Him do. If you see me do this, then I've seen the Father do it. I only replicate what He's doing. So when He says, go and make disciples, go and teach, go and baptize, when He's saying this thing, then he's seen God say these things before. I'm going to take you back to an instance in the Bible. It's in Ezekiel chapter 2. And I'm just going to I don't like to read a lot of times, just straight read without stopping, because there's just so much in there. But I'm going to try to read a portion of this without stopping so you can get the full gist of it. So I'm in Ezekiel chapter 2. God is speaking to a prophet who is becoming a prophet. He's not necessarily a prophet now. He's becoming a prophet. He's like a disciple becoming a disciple, but he's already discipling because he's got some people around him. So he's going to be a spokesperson for God. God's going to speak to him, and he's going to speak to the Israelite nation. So before this happens, God is having this conversation with Ezekiel. Okay? So God's having a conversation with Zeke. You got it? Okay, here's what he says. He said, son of man, I am sending you to the Israelites, to a rebellious nation that has rebelled against me. They and their ancestors have been in revolt against me to this very day. The people to whom I'm sending you are obstinate and they're stubborn. Say to them, this is what the sovereign Lord says. And whether they listen or fail to listen, for they are a rebellious people, they will know that a prophet or a man of God or a person of God has been among them. And you, son of man, do not be afraid of them or their words. Do not be afraid, though briars and thorns are all around you, and you live among scorpions. Do not be afraid of what they say or terrified by them, though they are a rebellious people. You must speak my words to them. Let me say that again. You must speak my words to them, whether they listen or fail to listen. For they are rebellious. But you, son of man, you better listen to what I'm saying to you. Do not rebel like that rebellious people. Open your mouth and eat what I give you. Then I looked and I saw a hand stretch out to me, and in it was a scroll. And he unrolled it before me. Now let me get you a... That's actually all of the chapter right there. I read you a whole chapter. Let me tell you what's being said here. God is sending Ezekiel, or Zeke, to go out to a group of people to represent him, to go out and to teach them, to help them understand, and to speak on behalf of God and let them know what they need to know to live. Which is similar to what Jesus said when he said, go and make disciples of all nations. Except Jesus just said, go and make disciples of all nations. He just didn't tell them about the nations. Now God, on the other hand, starts to tell you about the characteristics of these people. He says they're obstinate. What's another word for that? Hard-headed. Mule-headed. You ever heard of that? Obstinate. Set in their ways. Stubborn is his words. They're hard-headed, obstinate, stubborn, and they're rebellious, meaning they don't like to change. You try to control them, you try to direct them, man, they hate it. They rebel against that stuff. And God is describing people who were his people, who were following him. And I think if you really look at the characteristics of people, that's the same way people are today, isn't it? When we go out and try to tell people about what God's doing in our life, when we go out and try to tell people about Jesus, when we try to share with them opportunities to come and be a part of the church, or share just to come visit with or come do that, they are obstinate. They are stubborn. They are rebellious. No, you don't understand. That might be for you, but that's not for me. That church stuff isn't for me. God made me this way. And this is the way I am. And God will take me or leave me, because this is who I am. Do you understand what I'm saying? People have an attitude these days. That's what I would put in there. I'm not Jesus, no stretch of the imagination, but it's like, to me the words would be, go and make disciples of all nations. Now it's going to be hard, because they're knuckleheads. They want to do it their way. They don't want to do it my way. They want it the Burger King way. You know Burger King, have it your way at Burger King. I want to do this and this. I want to keep my scrolls. I want to keep my old way of life, my sorcery stuff, and I want to hold on to you. I want everything. I don't want to give up anything. I want to keep going to church, but I want to keep lying and stealing. I want to keep going to church, but I want to say it's okay to commit adultery. I want to keep going to church, but yet I want to go get crap-faced drunk all the time and not have any consequences with it. I want to be able to treat my family and people in the world to come with like crap because I don't care for them. I don't want to do anything for them because there's no return investment on me, for me. If I go to help somebody, I'm looking for something in return. So you keep that Jesus. You keep that God. This stuff of forgiving people. Man, somebody hit me in the face, Ricky Saldano. What? I'm putting back on them. Ricky, tell me that. Man, it's been hard. And this guy, God's been changing this guy. The guy's been working for Ricky for a while because I'm telling you, Thomas, that might look like a mild-mannered old man over there, but that ain't no mild-mannered old man. It's all we can do to keep him from throwing down sometimes. If you know, it's just like, Thomas, you can't do that now. You can't do that. God's changing people. But see, for most, they don't want to change. They want to keep doing it their way. They're obstinate. They're stubborn. They're rebellious. And so that's the first thing that we recognize about people that happened in Ezekiel's day that's happening in today's times. The second thing is, he said, you must speak my words to them whether they listen or they fail to listen. In other words, if they don't listen or they do listen, that's not on you. God's telling Ezekiel, you have to do what I'm telling you to do. You don't go out there and just spit, well, I don't want to say that, you know, because they might not like me. You know, if I say that to them, I might lose them as a friend. And I ain't got but three. I don't know. So there's this part where God, let me give you some help on that. You're speaking what God is saying, not what you're saying. God said, you got to do this. This is about you. In your step, in your walk as a disciple of Jesus Christ, this is your next step. You must be obedient, because if you're not obedient, how can you teach obedience? Go and make disciples of all nations, baptize them, and teaching them to obey. How can you teach obedience if you're not being obedient? You can't. Well, I read about it in a book. Yeah, how far does that get you? How many of them doctors do you want working on you when they're doing surgery on you because they just read it in a book but they never had any practical experience with them? No, dude, I want to know, and I don't want to be your first either. I don't want to be your sample. You know, you do that on a cadaver or whatever, but I don't want to be the first one you trying to figure out how to do the procedure you're about to do. So he said, you must speak to them whether they listen or not. That sounds like a command to me. Go and make disciples of all nations. I don't care if they listen to you. I don't care. I'm sure he cares. That's not the point. It's not about whether they listen or not. It's about what you do. Because you're my disciple. They're becoming my disciple. And when I ask you to do something, or I tell you to do something, you better get out there and do it. When I tell you to jump, don't ask me how high. What should you do? Get off the ground. When I say jump, get off the ground. And don't expect me to move the ground away from you. You understand that? That's how some of us live this life as disciples. I want you to jump. Okay, move the earth from me. I'm standing here. You move it, and I'll be in the air. That's considered jumping. That's how many of us are living our life today, because we think God's supposed to move the earth for us to look like we jumped. And we haven't used not one little bit of muscle, not one little bit of energy, not one bit of, because you know what? We're Burger King people. We want it our way. And then he says this, do not rebel like that people. See, what he's saying is, when you don't do what I'm saying, you become like them. That's rebellion. When I tell you to go make disciples and you don't make disciples, that's rebellion. And you become like them. When I tell you to teach them everything I've commanded you and you don't, then you're rebelling. And you can't blame that on me, because that's all on you. Because it's your choice of what to do. When I say forgive, and you say, well, wait a minute, that hurt what he did to me. And you don't forgive, then you're rebelling against me. When I say to help this person or serve this person or give to this person or do this, and you don't do those things because you're like, well, I don't know how much money I got. I don't know what I'm supposed to do. And you start thinking about all these other things, and you don't do it, then you just rebelled against me. Is what God's saying. See, the way not to rebel like those people, he says and gives us a little insight. He says, open your mouth and eat what I give you. See, there's a way that we can go through this life and not rebel against God. There's a way that we can go and be obedient to him, and that is to eat what he gives us. Now that just sounds kind of, what if he tells me to eat liver? Oh, it'd be worse. Collard greens and liver. Or those little bitty things that look like cabbages. What are those things? Oh, my gosh. What if he says to eat that? Man, I am falling out. And oh, man. No, but he says eat this. So what is he talking about? Is he talking about food? Let's pick up and read it, verse 1 of chapter 3. And he said to me, son of man, eat what is before you. Eat this scroll. And then go speak to the people of Israel. So I opened my mouth and he gave me the scroll to eat. Then he said to me, son of man, eat this scroll I am giving you and fill your stomach with it. So I ate it, and it tasted sweet as honey in my mouth. Didn't taste like Brussels sprouts. Then he said to me, "Son of man, now go to the people of Israel and speak my words to them." So see, when we move forward and live our lives for God, when we move forward out of this and start taking an action to not have just a devotional time with God, but to have a devotional life, we have to take the Word of God into our lives, and it becomes a part of who we are. We have to digest this Word. We have to digest the things that we are learning. We've got to digest the teachings that we have. It can't just be someone else's teaching. It's got to be what I've learned and that I can go out and apply out into this life. I need to pick somebody. Who? Katie, can I pick on you? Katie, what did you eat two nights ago? Well, I shouldn't have picked Katie because it's like, does anybody? Come on, what'd you eat? Don't look for your husband. That's not going to work. We had leftovers. Well, leftovers are ravioli. Okay? Give it back. I need you to give that ravioli back. Can you do it? It's already processed through your body. Now, hold on just a second. Now, this is sounding pretty gross right now. But once you eat something, it becomes a part of you. And what's not a part of you comes out as waste, correct? But you can't separate what you've eaten from you anymore. What you eat and what you digest now begins to be a part of your blood. It begins to be a part of your DNA. It begins to be a part of your nervous system. It begins to be a part of everything that you are. You can't separate it. And this is the failure of the church today. We don't eat the Word of God. We just chew it, and almost like bulimia, we spit it out. We just chew it for the taste of what it makes us feel like in the moment. We get the sugar rush off of it, but don't get the other parts of it to become who we are. Because it's Brussels sprouts. But this says it tastes like honey. See, this Word of God, for some of us it tastes good, for some of us it doesn't taste good, but it's still the Word of God. And some of us are wanting to just take a vitamin. Just give me a vitamin. I don't want to do that. But there's something about the way it all works where it goes in, it works into your digestive system, it works and be a part. Now, I'm not going to go into all that because I'm not an anatomy person and definitely not a gastroenterologist because I can't even say it. But my point is it becomes who you are and you can no longer separate it. And so he says this. He says, eat this word, eat this scroll, and then go speak to the people. See, some of us, we go speak to the people and we haven't digested it. Some of us are going out and trying to invite people to church and we haven't digested what we've learned at church. Some of us are going out and we try to serve the world or try to help others. And then we're doing it from that perspective of what we're going to get in return. We forgive others because they deserve to be forgiven or because God told us to forgive. And as we do these things, we're looking for results, which means we don't really have it fully digested. See, we're supposed to forgive others because God forgave us and He told us to forgive others. We're supposed to serve others because He told us to. We're supposed to make a difference in this world. We're supposed to be a part of fighting injustice, not creating injustice. And it doesn't matter whether it's comfortable or not comfortable. It's about being obedient because when we don't do that, we're rebellious. I'm speaking to myself. Open your mouth and eat what I give you. Jesus one time, the way he said this, he was teaching on the vine and the grapes and the vine and the branches and the vine and all. And he said this, he says, "If you remain in me, and my words remain in you. You ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you." When this becomes a part of who you are, when you stop chewing it up and only taking the good tasty stuff out and then spit the rest out, when you take it all in and it becomes a part of you, then when you pray, you know what I would pray because it's in you, it's a part of you. When you're trying to figure out, should I help? Should I do something? Should I step in here? You know because it's inside of you. It's who you are. You become Christ like. And then you become a true disciple. But listen to this. Here's the issue. Remember those people that we're going to. So we take this word of God in us and we consume it. We, in our personal time with God, we take it and we work it and it goes in us, and we go in here and we're beginning this transformation process, and we're going out here to live this devotional life, and we're starting to speak it. But we know they're hard-headed, they're obstinate. We know that they're rebellious and they rebel. We know the people, and the fact is, we are that people, so we relate to them pretty good. But listen, what God says in Ezekiel 5:7. He says, you are not being sent to a people of obscure language or obscure speech or strange language, but to the people of Israel. Not to the people of obscure speech and strange language whose words you cannot understand. Surely if you'd been sent to them, they would have listened to you. But the people of Israel are not willing to listen to you because they are not willing to listen to me. For all the Israelites are hardened and obstinate. See, when we take the words into our lives so that it becomes a part of who we are, and we begin to go out and share the word of God with others by our words, see, we speak the same language. And our actions, we're in the same culture. Most of us are talking to people that can totally understand us. When we're talking about that loving others as Jesus loved us, when we go out and do this, they don't listen. They rebel. And we get ticked off. Well, I invited Lori 3 times to church. And she turned me down all 3 times. I'm not inviting her anymore. Right? Because she turned me down. I got rejected. I went and I helped Gloria 3 times. I didn't get anything out of it. I helped her 3 times. She didn't even say thank you. So I feel rejected. So you think I'm going to help her the 4th time? I went out of my way to go do something for somebody else. And as I help them or do that, I come to church and I volunteer back here to give out bulletins, and nobody even says thank you. I put the tent up every week so somebody has a place to gather around for hospitality and come out there. I put donuts out each week. I do these things and nobody says thank you. I'm not appreciated. I'm done. I'm burned out. And as we do those things and we feel like that, we think we're being rejected, that people don't care about us. And here's what he said. They're not rejecting you. They're rejecting God. And even if they reject God, you're still supposed to do what I called you to do. Or else, your disobedience means you're rebelling against me. And that's where most of us fall. We've tried 2 or 3 times inviting. We tried this, that, and the other. There's all kinds of things. You can go on and on and on about all the things that you've tried. This is what I did at this church or done at that church. People move from church to church thinking that's going all the way. It ain't about the churches. It's about us. Because we keep wanting a return on investment rather than wanting to be returned for being obedient. God told us to. That's just what I'm doing. So I go in again and I go visit this person who doesn't give me the time of day. I go to the hospital visit. I go sit down and then I go meet this one for coffee. I go do this one. And just like you, I go do these things over and over. And I keep doing it because that's what he's called me to do. That's what he's called you to do. You don't think they're going to reject you? They rejected his own son, Jesus Christ, who was the way, the truth, and the life. And he came to them and he spoke the truth to them, and they still put him on a cross. I don't think any of us have been put on a cross. We're just scared because we got somebody that said, no, I'm not coming. Or, well, I don't, preacher, I've invited everybody I know. All 5 of them. Go and make disciples of all nations, not just, parentheses, not just the 5 people you know. All nations is all nations. It's the people in Walmart. It's wherever you go. It's the people that are everywhere. It's the people that are not even this world. We understand this culture. We understand this language. And some of us even say this: I just can't understand that younger generation. I can't speak their language. You're still called to make disciples out of them. And you can say, younger generation, that I'm always sits on this right side. There's a few that sit up here on the front. They might be a few over there. But the younger generation say, I just don't understand them old people. They just like my mom and daddy, and I didn't understand them. But you called to make disciples of all nations. All nations include older people. There's a nation of older people. They're in nursing homes, retirement villages. They're sick and alone, and nobody comes to see them, not even their own children. How much more blessed would they be when some stranger comes up and said, I just want to come visit and sit with you for a little bit. Do you have to know who the person is in the nursing home? Do you have to know who the person is in the hospital? You want to feel the grace of God? You start going to visit people you don't know. You start encouraging people you don't know. Encourage them. Ask God to open up your heart to begin to see and hear what God is saying to them. And you may be the answer to their prayers. Is there the answer to your prayers of becoming a true and faithful disciple of Jesus Christ? So we go out and we love and serve others as Jesus did. We have to move away from quitting when it gets hard. Go and make disciples of all nations, teaching them to obey everything I command you, only when it's easy. Only when you understand the software program do you use the software program. Don't have to invest any time in the software program to learn how to get it to function. I just want to stay with my old way. My old computer was so good. My old system was so good. And things happen and time happens. And now there's this new stuff upon us and we don't even use it to make a difference. Oh, yeah, we'll fill it up on Facebook. Put these little quotes. Man, I read some of them. Did you write a thing? Was that what you wrote? Me and my wife argued because she said, I think he cut and pasted that. I said, no, I don't think he cut and pasted that. I think it was in. She said, no, I think he referenced something else. I said, no, that was somebody else referencing him. My point is, we'll say all that stuff on Facebook. It's hard to say one-on-one. But yet it feels so strongly we'd say it to millions of people who are strangers, and we don't even say it to people right around us. See, that's because we think they're going to reject us. It's not about that. It's not about rejecting us. Our job is whether they listen or whether they fail to listen. Speak what God says. Speak what He says when He speaks to us through this scroll that we eat and it becomes a part of us. Now, Ezekiel, here's how God handled Ezekiel. Because you know, everybody, Ezekiel didn't even get a chance to put things out of his mouth to say, you know, I don't know if I can do this or not. Before, God just went right on, he just kept right on talking to him, didn't put a comment. He says this. He said, but Ezekiel, Zeke, I will make you as unyielding and as hardened as they are. I don't think he's making them a jerk, but he says, I'm going to make you just as focused to change them as what they are not to be changed. He said, I'll make you as unyielding, as hard as they are. I will make your forehead like the hardest stone, harder than flint. So do not be afraid of them or terrify them, though they are a rebellious people. If they turn you down 20 times, you go to 21st. If you forgive somebody 7 times, forgive them the 17th time. Whatever it is you do because I've asked you to do, and you quit worrying about this, and I'm going to put, if you eat this scroll, by the way, Ezekiel is a particular verse in the Bible. And if you eat that and consume that and it becomes a part of you, then you'll understand God will make you where you're durable. And you can go out there and you can do these things. Now, that's how God said it. Well, what did Jesus say? Did Jesus say, listen, you do this, I'm going to make you hard-headed. I'm going to make you some of the hard-headedest doggone disciples there ever was. Because His people needed to hear this. They already knew the Old Testament writings. All of His disciples were Jews. They knew this Ezekiel writing, so they knew this part. Here's what He tells them. And I'm with you always to the very end of the age. Because that's the next part of this generation. We're afraid we're alone. We're afraid that when we go out to speak to others about the participation in church or fellowship or in small groups or being a part, or we're afraid that when we go out to help others and encourage others, that what they might do to us, when we get to be afraid of all these things, we think we're alone. And so we don't go. I mean, I've done stuff with youth groups, and I'm a lot braver than I am when I'm by myself, because I'm doing it with the youth. I feel a little bit more braver. I'll go ask somebody. I'll go, do you understand what I'm saying? You do those just because you got somebody with you. But here's what Jesus is saying. I'm with you always to the very end of the age. Meaning when you do this, you're not alone. I'll be right there with you. Because when you eat this word, when you take this and it becomes inside of you, becomes who you are.